Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio. I'm your host, Tom Majeur. We are going to talk about homelessness in Michigan. In fact, what I've seen is that homelessness is increasing in Michigan. We have two people who will be talking about that. We'll be having Michelle Munn with us talking, and we'll also have Rick. He's with CityGate Mission, which is a regional homeless. He's down in Indiana. So we're going to get a local perspective as well as a much larger perspective. So let us start with a word of prayer. Our great Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for who you are. Lord, you said in the scriptures you didn't have a place. You went from place to place at the goodness of people once you got into ministry. And, it said the foxes had holes, but the Son of Man has none, paraphrasing lightly. But dear Lord, you want your children, especially in a climate like Michigan and Indiana, where certain times of the year, being in the elements is not a favorable thing. So Lord, let us look at this subject with seriousness. Put aside some of our preconceived notions to look at the real issues, finding out what helps, what hurts, and what we can do. So be with us in this very important issue. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start with Rick. Rick, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. You have spent most of your career in this area of homelessness, helping people with homelessness. Tell our listeners about your career and a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, I've been in this type of ministry since I actually got out of college in 1977. It wasn't something I, woke up one day and said, hey, this is what I want to do. But it was one of those things where the Lord, certainly led and directed my wife and I to be involved in this kind of ministry. And it's been very rewarding. And through the years, through the nearly 45 years that I've been involved in this type of ministry. And it's also been, a challenge because of so many people you work with and to watch them go through so many difficulties in their own lives. God's been really good to us. But for some people, it seems like they have a difficult time getting through life due to either addiction issues or mental health or things like that. So it's been a privilege to be involved in this kind of work, really.
It sounds a little trite, but thank you for your service.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been good. Yeah,
Rick, many people would have left long before you did. What was the staying power? I think that we should look to you as a great resource. Michelle has referred us to you. What keeps you going and doing it every single day?
I think just the changed lives, the life transformation that we see in people that who are at rock bottom, who have nowhere else to go, and to see them come to know Christ and then to, begin to flourish. But for me, it's a call. God called me this kind of work, 45 years ago, and he's never released me from that call, and I've enjoyed that call that he is. And one of the things that's kind of kept me in it too, you might say, is there's always new challenges. People get bored today in their jobs, and they want to go somewhere else and do something else that's more exciting. Well, I found there's new challenges every day, and I didn't have to go looking for new challenges. A friend of mine one time told me that CEOs change their corporations about every 7 years because they need a new challenge. And in this kind of work, it seemed like it's every year we have new challenges. So I think that's what's really kept me in. I've never gotten bored.
Well, praise the Lord. Now, Michelle Munn, you're with us. You're here in Cadillac. You're with the New Hope Shelter.
Yes.
And tell us, our listeners, if I got the name wrong, please correct me.
No, it's New Hope Shelter. We serve Wexford and Maasauke County. I have been the director for a year and a half now. I've worked for the organization for 6.5 years. I started as case manager, and then a year and a half ago, I became the director.
Amen. Tell our listeners a little bit. We've had various people representing New Hope Shelter over the years, but to refresh our memory, we have new audiences all the time. Tell our listeners about New Hope Shelter, how many people you work with and help every year.
So it's grown quite a bit. We started in 1992 with a single dwelling home that could only serve 7 men. And that was just based off of a few community church members that saw a need for men that were homeless.
And what was interesting about that is that our society looks after women and children. I mean, you just can't close your eyes to that. But the men kind of sometimes were not served as well, and there was a gap there.
Yes. And then it grew into a women and children shelter, and then we had some single dwelling homes for families, whole family units. 4 years ago, we built a new facility, and we've been in that facility, and so we're all under one roof. We have a men's wing, we have a women and children wing, and then we have a family wing. So, and then in the last year, we have added 10 more beds to accommodate a little bit more. So we can now house up to 66 people a night.
Sounds like quite a few people to be putting up every night.
Yes, it can be a lot.
Absolutely. Now, I'm just going to ask a question to Rick. Did you ever come across Stuart Ray of Guiding Light Mission in Grand Rapids, Michigan?
No, but I've heard of him.
Yes. Amazing man. He was built and worked from the ground up in one of the fast food chains. It went from just serving to eventually being an owner of multiple restaurants. I mean, multiple of them. And the Lord called him. And he left this whole industry and worked at Guiding Light and did amazing work and took it to the next level. And so, highest regards. Now, Michelle, our topic today is on homelessness in Michigan. We're talking about increasing homelessness in Michigan. Can you give us a feel for what's going on out there?
Well, specifically in our area and probably everywhere, there is a decrease in affordable and low-income housing.
We've heard that from guests here year after year, and it the message never changes, it just increases.
Yeah. And I'm guessing that it's probably countrywide, but in Michigan, I know for sure that it's pretty significant.
Well, I just think about the fact is that I looked at houses that I've watched over the years, and somebody tells me what the price of that market price. We're not talking about those who are on the lower economic scale. We're talking about middle and upper, not extravagant. And you say, no way. No way does that house cost that amount of money and such. But those who have limited means, it's just completely. Other people can stretch. You know, you work a few extra hours, you save more. This isn't part of the equation for these people.
No. I mean, there's increased costs of living. On top of, we're seeing a lot more addiction, mental illness, and all of that stems I believe, from trauma from childhood or somewhere in their life, and it just snowballs from there, really.
And one of our guests here, Karen Staub, would definitely agree with you, childhood, adverse childhood events and such.
Yes.
So, Rick, what is the definition of homelessness? Is it what everybody thinks?
Well, I think there's different definitions for it. It's kind of hard to nail it down because there's different people that, you know, have different needs that, you know, are homeless. I usually like to refer to our friends as people who are, you know, homeless. We in our ministry before I retired a couple of years ago, we were stressing that we don't really want to refer to our clients as homeless. They're people who find themselves homeless,
mm-hmm.
because they're just like you and me. They get up, put their clothes on, and go about their business, and they just happen to have a different situation than what we do. And so homelessness to me can be different aspects. It can be temporary and it can be long term. And the long term is what we would like to really work on. But if we can make homelessness shorter term, that's what we need to do. And there's different aspects of it.
Okay. You know, just to be reality, we're all talked to have a form of homelessness. You sell a house and the next house is not available for you to go into. You may have to go stay with a relative. And that's what some of the homeless people without homes do. You know, one time we went to a men's ministry group in Indianapolis. That's kind of down your way, isn't it, Rick?
Yeah. Yes.
They had a big event, and one of the guys said, well, that hotel is a long ways from downtown. I think we can get closer. Well, we got closer and found out there weren't any, and there was about 12 of us guys in a room with two queen beds in it, and you'd walk over each other as you went to the restroom at night. But that was temporary homelessness. But I tell you what, it's kind of scary. Even if you're traveling, and let's say with some of the disruptions we've had in travel, and your plane gets canceled because TSA and mm-hmm. all that other stuff goes on. And so we all, let's not put it as them versus us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, Michelle, can you be homeless and not know it?
I think there are some people that are homeless and not know it just because they, you know, they're relying on, they couldn't find housing, affordable housing somewhere, so they're relying on a relative, a family member, and maybe they're bouncing around couch surfing, and they're just, well, I have a place to stay, so I'm not homeless. In reality, they are.
Yes.
Exactly.
So, Rick, I want to ask you this question. Do some people choose to be homeless, and if that is true, how do you handle that?
Definitely, there's some people who want to be homeless, or you know, and it doesn't bother them. Look at some of the homeless camps. I mean, here in Indianapolis, there's tent cities in some areas, and people choose to be there because they don't want the quote unquote rules of the mission, so they want their independence. But I remember years ago, Ronald Reagan, when he was president, he came out and he said, people are homeless because they want to be homeless. And the news, I recall this very clearly, that the news media attacked his response, and because they felt like nobody wanted to find themselves homeless. And they really attacked him for that. And when he said that, I said, he's exactly right. You don't have to be homeless. There's enough shelters across the U.S. that we can take care of people and we can get them off the street. And they don't have to be out on the street, but that's their choosing. And you can't legislate them to tell them to come in. The police can't drag them in. You can't make them do anything. So, yes, they definitely have taken a different kind of lifestyle than what we care for them to take.
So if I'm trying to understand this, that there's a spectrum of homelessness. Some are chosen and some of them are totally unchosen, and they're just in a bad spot. So one statement overall, you're probably wrong on either end of the spectrum, because it is a spectrum.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
According to my statistics, in 2024, approximately 31,000 people experienced homelessness in Michigan. While in the urban areas, the homelessness is larger, rural areas are seeing faster growth in homelessness and a higher rate among children. That higher rate among children, Michelle, just kind of grabbed me. If that last phrase wasn't there, why should it be highest rates among children?
There are many reasons. One, a lot of times kids age out of foster care. That's one thing.
We've talked about that here on Strong Tower Radio, yes.
And once they do, sometimes at 18, they're just out of the house. They have no place else to go.
And sometimes they're fosters, or if there's a difficult situation in that family, they say, you're on your own.
Yes.
You know, sink or swim.
Yes. So that's one reason. The other is, increasingly, we are seeing more families, at least in our shelter, and I'm guessing that's everywhere, because of rising costs and many other things, that are becoming, the whole family's becoming homeless. So that is the children as well. So
yeah.
That's another
factor. One other thing that I've heard along the way, some of these are single parents with children.
Yes.
But there are intact families with children.
Yes.
And we need to be cognizant of all of these.
Yes.
God
and
calls
then me. There's also another group that
sure.
we don't consider at times, and we found this out through COVID, is that there's men with children.
Oh.
Yes.
And so often
yes.
what we've always thought about when it comes to homelessness is it's women and then it's women with children. Well, we found that there was a hidden population in men with children, too. And they have nowhere to go because we operated a large Hampton hotel downtown Indianapolis. We had one whole floor that was dedicated to men with children. And the rest of the seven stories or eight stories of that building was all women and children. And so there's a need, but it's just a hidden need.
You know, Rick, you used the word hidden, and that was the next word I was going to talk about. In urban areas, in Detroit and Lansing, Grand Rapids, or maybe even Indianapolis, there's the homeless camps that are very visible. But in rural areas, they're more hidden. Sometimes they're in small groups. In fact, I was talking to the sheriff a few years ago in Lake County, and there's areas that are in the National Forest and different things that there are encampments of homeless people, and nobody knows how many people are really there.
Yes.
Right.
And then there's right. the hidden of the families who are couch surfing, or teenagers that are couch surfing. They're inside, but they don't have a home that is of their own. And then there's others who are living in their cars.
Mm-hmm.
Several years ago, I'm not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet, but several years ago, I said that homelessness was going to start filtering out of the large cities and down into the smaller communities. And I think I've been right on with that statement.
Yes, I agree.
In fact, my statistic says that the Upper Peninsula has seen a 17% jump in homeless population recently, which is the highest in the state. Can you imagine being in the UP in winter homeless?
You hit it on the head there, John, because I'm thinking, if I'm going to be homeless,
I'm going to be in Florida.
It is not going to be Michigan, and it's not going to be Indiana. It's going to be way down in Florida.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But rural children are twice as likely to be homeless as their urban peers. And the counties are Arnak, Lake, I mentioned Lake, it shows up in this, and Alger counties have the highest highest number. And the ironic thing is that these counties have the fewest resources to help out.
To me, that's strange.
Isn't that usually the way it is?
Yeah. So I do know that we have seen, just like Rick just said, that a lot of homeless or the unhoused are coming from heavier populated areas or big cities into smaller communities. I personally think that at least in our area, we do have a lot of resources here, and we are smaller, but we have a lot of people,
a lot of caring
churches,
people,
agencies willing to help.
It's the it's the government, but it's also the people.
Yes, and I think unfortunately, word of mouth from all over, and they know where they can go. They research sometimes, and they know where they can go to get the help they need, and a lot of them do come to our area because of that.
They one of the terms I saw was a service desert, desert for the homeless. And in the cities, they're geared up. There's multiple agencies and shelters. But in rural counties, the nearest shelter might be over an hour away. And there's no way to get there. There's no public transportation. You don't get on the bus and go down to the county social office.
Well, example is that our shelter covers Wexford and Maasaukee counties. That's what we service. There is, in Osceola County, there's absolutely no shelter at all. The next closest shelter is Big Rapids.
That's going
in Mecosta.
Okay.
And
that's
then,
you skipping over a county.
And
Osceola.
Yeah, yes. And then there's Grand Traverse County. So, yeah. So Osceola is kind of that desert too. However, if it's close enough to Cadillac, we do take them because they are working, shopping, doing all of, you know, all of their daily things in the Cadillac Wexford County area, and we will take them because there isn't anywhere else to go.
Now, from time to time, a person is trying to help out a homeless, a person without housing. And so that's it's good to have an advocate out there to help a person. In every Michigan county, there's a agency called the Housing Assessment and Resource Agency. How do that's supposed to be a single point of entry? How do you enter that door, Michelle?
Okay, so we work with the HARA as well, so we fall under a coordinated entry system.
Okay.
And if anybody in that 10 counties, in our 10 counties that the HARA serves for us, Michigan Balance of State, they would call 844-900-0500.
Say that again.
844-900-0500. That is, in theory, that should be their first step. When they do that, they will be assessed. The people that are answering the phones will find out what county they're in. If they are literally homeless right now, they're referred to the nearest shelter in the county they're in. And then if you are in the HARA system, then like we would get a referral. If they're in Wexford or Maasaukee County, we get a referral through a data system. And then we call and follow up on them, either saying we have space right now, you can come on in, or if we don't have space, we put them on a wait list. And that's typically how we do that. So that is kind of how that works. They do get assessed. They do ask the questions of trying very hard to divert so that if there is any place they can stay without having to come into shelter, they ask those questions like, where did you stay last night?
Can you stay a few more nights?
Yes. Do you have a relative that you could stay at? Can you reach out to? Those types of things. And if they can, that's what they try to do before entering shelter. But if not, then yes, that's their next step is coming in.
Rick, in your area, what is the usual length of stay in a shelter?
It depends on different individuals and what their needs are. You know, some would like to stay around forever. We don't want that to happen. But I probably 30 to 60 days for men, and I think it's sometimes shorter for women, I think, because we handled both men and women. That's a difficult question, actually. Yeah, because it depends on the person and where they're at in life and what they're needing.
Michelle?
Yeah, I would say about, the last quarter, our rate was a 63-day stay for our shelter. It was the
max.
Yeah, right now. Every quarter it's a little different. It depends, but yeah, sometimes we've had people stay for over a year. It may not be because they aren't working hard to get where they need to get. It's because there's no housing available.
Mm-hmm. And
it depends on the time of the year, too.
Yes.
I mean, in the wintertime, they don't want to move too much. But in the summertime, it gets a little more fluid.
And going back to my friend Stuart Ray at the Guiding Light Mission, that they had a situation that if the person was making progress and meeting certain goals, they could stay at a longer time.
Yes. And that's how our shelter operates as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a case manager on site. They work with them and their goals and any barriers they have to housing so that they can move forward. That's
wow.
The whole goal.
Well, you've been listening to Rick and Michelle. We're talking about homelessness increasing in the state of Michigan, and looks like we're going to have to go another half hour, Michelle.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. Well, listeners, you're listening to Strong Tower Radio. I'm your host, Tom Azure. We're talking about the increasing homelessness in Michigan. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this break.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. Here at Strong Tower Radio, we are proud to hold up the Bible as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We believe the Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His great plan of salvation for mankind. If you know and believe this to be true, won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the truth about our God and His Word, the Bible? To do that, go to www.strongtowerradio.org, and there, on our secure website, you will find a donate button. Click on that and give as the Lord directs. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio today. We're in the second part of the increasing homelessness in Michigan. I have Rick Alvis. He's with City Gate Mission, and this is a national network, City Gate Network. It's a group. It's Rick, why don't you tell our listeners how you serve the area of homeless people without homes?
Well, CityGate Network is a national association, and it's a united movement of gospel-powered rescue missions, just like the New Hope Shelter there in Cadillac. You know, we have part of our membership is addictive recovery centers, prison outreach, day centers, you know, just life transformation programs, and working, all of us working together to address poverty, homelessness, and root causes. And been around since 1906. We have 335 members across the United States and in Canada, which New Hope is a member of our association. And combined, these missions across the country serve about 10.5 million nights of shelter every year. Over 41 million meals served, and combined annual revenue of over $2 billion. And so CityGate's a place where people like Michelle can come and for education, fellowship, training, you know, connecting with others who may have like challenges that she's having there, and she doesn't have to recreate the wheel. Mm-hmm. And it's a great association. I'm the regional coordinator for CityGate, and Michigan is part of my territory. I've been up in Michigan several times in the last year or two, try to go to different parts of Michigan. It's a pretty big area to cover, but I always enjoy going north, except in the middle of the winter. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay down south in the middle of the winter.
Well, and you shared with us in your previous segment that you've been in this area for 40-plus years.
Yes, the 40, actually, I was the CEO of a mission in down in Evansville, Indiana, down the south on the river. It was a small mission when I first became involved in this kind of work, and then I went to Indianapolis in 1990 and served as a CEO for 33 years, and President Emeritus is the last couple of years, so I was there for 35. So you combine those, it's a lot of years of service.
Wow. When you talk about 10 million nights that are served, it just took my breath away. And this is a program that we want to go away. And but while it's still here, we can't ignore it, and we have to serve to it. What we're talking about is increasing homelessness in Michigan. And we have Michelle Munn here, who runs the New Hope Shelter. Michelle, tell our listeners, if they've just joined us, the statistics about your mission, how many people you serve, and how many beds, how many rooms do you have?
So we have, under one roof, we are able to serve 66 people each night. And we have a women's wing we allow children in, we have a men's wing, and then we have a family wing where we can house whole families. And like Rick said earlier, sometimes it's single fathers with children as well. And yeah, like, last quarter, because they don't have to leave every single night and it's not first come, first serve, the total number of people we served was 102 for January through March. We were able to house and permanently house, like, I think it was about five different people, families. And that's good. That's, yes, a good quarter when we can find permanent housing for people.
And that's the way out.
Yes.
And that's a longer solution.
Yes.
Now, what we talked about in the last segment, that in 2024, 31,000 people, mm-hmm, experienced homelessness. The city of Cadillac is 10,000. The city of Traverse City in the winter is about 20 to 25,000. Now, during the rest of the year, it's a whole different story, but this is a lot of people.
Yes, yes. I was just on a meeting earlier this afternoon, and that meeting is Wexford, Meraki, Charlevoix, Emmett, and Manistee. And for last...
These are northeast, lower peninsula.
Yes, yep.
Counties.
And they were, they did the statistics for it, and there was 172 people that were unhoused that were in the system that were, that all of our counties combined served. But there were still, there's still more out there. They're out there.
Do you think
that are,
you're serving half of the total people, or do you think it, which way does it go?
I think, I don't know if it's half. I really, it's very hard to tell.
And it also fluctuates.
It does. Yeah, it does. We have people who move through and then move back through, and it's yeah, definitely fluctuates.
You know, growing up, I thought homelessness was not an American problem.
Mm.
It just didn't seem so foreign. I mean, you heard about quote-unquote hobos and whatever, but
sure.
Homelessness, it just seems like it's become way too big.
Yeah.
Way too big.
I remember when I was, I don't know if I can sidetrack a little bit, but when I was a teenager working at a fast food restaurant, I look back now and know that some of the people I was working with were homeless, but I had no idea because I was naive at that point. But I mean, I befriended them and I knew there was something that wasn't quite right, but I had no clue. And
they left and you knew, didn't know their home situation.
No, of course not. So yeah, I mean, it's always been a homeless problem. We see it more now.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's more now or if we just see it more now.
Well, Michelle, you make me think about this. I was school chair, head of a department at a technical college, and I found out that a few of my students were sleeping in cars.
Mm, yeah. Mm. Sure. Mm.
And that's not as unusual as we might think.
No, not at all. There are lots of people that, especially around here, they can park almost anywhere out of sight. Like you said, they're hidden.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's communities that's moved around. There was in different areas, and they've moved around. There's also, I mean, I was at a park here just a few years ago, Dugan's Hill.
Oh, yes, Diggins Hill, yeah.
Yeah, there's people there. And but we talked about that the visible issue in the last segment that most of us can, the first top of mind thought is big urban areas. But in actually rural Michigan, it's growing faster, and the problem is there's less resource. The service desert is the term that we used last time.
Yes. Yeah, especially in the UP like you were talking about. It's definitely a service desert, and in many other counties in Michigan, for sure.
Up there in the Upper Peninsula, how many counties are there? Like six, or there's not that many counties up there, and some of them are very, very. Luce County is very huge.
Yes.
And so that's covering a large area with a certain amount of resources. It grew 17% recently, and but you know, either in Upper Peninsula in the last, or in Northern Michigan, the Upper Peninsula. Almost every single county grew, not only in homelessness, but over population is growing in outstate. So it's a trend that is growing. We talked about that there were counties like Arnak, Lake, and Elger counties that have the highest rates of homelessness with the fewest amount of resources. That just seems wrong. It's going it's so different between the needs and the resources.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's a hard thing. I don't think we're ever going to solve homelessness, I will say. However,
we're not going to give in.
No. And however, we're, you know, it takes a community, it takes church communities, it takes a lot of people to try to help people become permanently housed. It's not just New Hope Shelter, it's not just City Gate, it's a lot of agencies trying very hard to help people overcome barriers so that they can become permanently housed.
You know, it's interesting, and Michelle, you talked about church communities. Our church, the Cadillac Church, is only a few blocks away from New Hope Shelter.
Yes.
And there was a period of time this winter when about 3 to 4 of the residents would come up here there on Saturday morning, and we had a wonderful time. They timed out on their 63 days, and some of them moved on. One got a job up in Traverse City. They were a great addition, and we loved them. They would stay for fellowship meal and things like that. It was a wonderful experience. And I know down at the Central Seventh-day Adventist Church out in Walker that there's a hotel that's nearby, and used to be a motel, and now it's homeless, and they rent to people and such. So they've chosen to reach out and help those communities. So it's in the spirit of many Christians.
Yes. For sure. And we have a strong church community here in Wexford and Maasauke County that truly supports us and supports the unhoused in our communities.
And we personally come in contact not only at church, but in other situations. We've reached out to services over at New Hope at different times. We talked about also HARA, which is the Housing Assessment and Resource Agency. There's a telephone number. It's a single point of entry. In other words, one-stop shopping for the consumer side. You can go there, and instead of going from agency to agency, you come through this, and that just kind of puts you in touch with the right one, so you don't have to go shopping. And transportation's an issue in most rural counties.
Yes, it's always an issue in probably anywhere, but it's an issue in our area. Yes.
And that number is 844-900-0500. And let me repeat that again. That's HARA, which is the Housing Assessment and Resource Agency. 844-900-0500. Now, it's kind of interesting. There's different people who are working towards housing. I see here that up in Marquette in the Upper Peninsula, that the Room in the End, that's a homeless shelter up there.
I've heard of it.
And it's an example of how a community saw the needs. It's grown 5 times in just 2 years. Wow. Well, there's a Michigan Coalition Against Homelessness, and they're providing data and advocacy for the state's campaign to end homelessness. Are you familiar with that campaign?
Yes. Okay. We are a part of MICA.
The acronym.
Yeah, yes, the acronym. Yes,
if you work with governments, you've got an acronym, right?
Yes. There's lots of trainings that we're also able to access as well, so that it's a nice resource.
Let's talk about solutions. Rick, what type of solutions is there for housing? There's Michigan Solutions, but... What are you seeing out there that's working?
Well, I think what's working is when, ministries like New Hope and others across the country have life transformation programs.
What is that? What is the life transformation program?
Well, we're seeing people come in who are really strung out either on drugs or alcohol or having mental health issues, and they allow us to help them to through their addiction and kind of just be a help to them and an advocate for them and help them through these. And hopefully once we build those relationships, people come to know Christ and they allow Christ to come into their heart and their lives, and they can, you know, totally be life transformed. And not only spiritually, but then that gives them the perhaps a motive to change their life in general, rather than being out on the street or being stuck in their addiction or whatever. And so those are the things that we're seeing. And I'm seeing more and more missions across at least the Great Lakes area, which is for me is Michigan and Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, and Wisconsin, those areas, that we're seeing many of the missions who are stepping up and not only just providing a shelter and life transformation programs, but also housing. Because I think Michelle said earlier that there's just no place for people to go. And there's a real need for additional housing. And we see that because like in the big cities, they are tearing the inner cities down and building condos tax paying companies, and leaving the low income out on the street, and they're not rebuilding anything. And so lots of missions now, what I'm seeing, are starting to have those supportive services and transitional type housing. And transitional is a word that went away a few years ago because the government said there's no such thing as transitional out. It's back on track. It's coming back in. And so because people just need a place to get their life together. And so we're seeing that. That's where I see the success in seeing people who actually come out of these addictive lifestyles and homeless lifestyles to being productive people once again.
And you're addressing the root problem, the cause of some of this. Although at the other side, as we say that, some people are just living one paycheck away, and with the higher cost of living, the higher cost of housing particularly, that a person loses a job, there's a layoff, there's a slowdown in an industry, and that just pushes a family, can't make the rent, they lose their housing, and now they're without a house.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that's a larger population than what we want to believe.
Yes. So, Michelle, what is the Housing First model?
So that's something that Micah has also really been pushing, or has pushed over the years, and that is, it's basically if we can get people housed, whether they have addictions, don't have a job yet, whatever, if we can get them in a stable place to live, then they can start working on all of those other things. If they don't have a stability of permanent housing, they're not able to, like, if I did not have a job and I did not have a place to live, it would be difficult for me to shower. It'd be difficult for me to find a place to eat that is affordable, all of the things.
Food.
Yes, all of those things. And then how am I going to get to my work? How am I going to get to a job? How am I going to find a job? Am I going to tell my employer that, you know, I'm homeless right now, I'm living in my car, whatever the case may be? So that's the concept to it. And the issue that I see with that is that, yes, we can house them, but if they cannot budget, they don't have the supports to get themselves clean and sober, they don't have a vehicle to get to and from work, and there's little transportation in their community, all sorts of things I could list, they're still going to end up possibly becoming homeless again. they need the supports backing them. Yes, if they're housed and they have somebody coming in once a week and saying, okay, how's your budget doing? Have you found that job? Pushing them a little bit, helping them with goals and objectives to get to those places, the housing isn't possibly going to stay.
Yes. Now, there's a state action plan from 2026 to 2028 that to reduce homelessness by 5%. How ambitious is that?
I would say that's probably pretty ambitious.
Is it really? 5%, I mean, but it's not easy probably either.
It's not, because there are so many things right now, especially right now. You know, there's funding being cut in the government. Everything's going up as far as costs. And then again, I keep saying this, no low income or affordable housing. Is all of that going to happen in the next few years? You know, are the costs going to go down? Are we going to get more funding for, you know?
It takes 6 months to build a housing unit.
Yeah, or more. So, I mean, is that going to, are all those things going to happen in the next 3 years?
And, you know, we had the Chamber of Commerce, the president of the Chamber of Commerce, and she was concerned about that because it has she has a caring heart, but it also has a employers having people be able to come
That's
to
right.
work and produce the product so they can stay in business.
Yes. Yep.
What about, what role do landlords and business owners have in this state action plan?
Well, landlords, this is kind of a two-edged sword. Landlords do need to try to step up and give people chances. They're like the action agencies and MICA and the Balanced Estate, they do have money to put towards and help. There's like incentives for landlords. So if they can get in there and talk to them about those things, and landlords will give those things a chance, you know, and give people chances, then yes, that would be great. And then you said the business owners too. Business owners need to, again, give people who they don't know if are going to make it or going to work out, give them a chance and see if they will. Some will. Some are. I see people every day, and there's a stigma towards homelessness that people who are homeless or don't have a house are lazy, or, you know, or they don't care about, you know, their appearance. They don't care about, you know, anything other than themselves. That's not true. Some of them are have this extreme work ethic, and if they just give people a chance, they can, you know, it might work out.
Might work out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So those are some big things. They need to give people jobs.
And then, and we had Recovery Church. And,
yes.
Oh, man, that just warmed my heart when we did that particular program of uplifting and finding opportunities. Let's talk about the cliff effect, and then we need to wind up the program.
Sure.
The cliff effect. I didn't even know about this term, but that's why we learn and listen. The pandemic era rent assistance and eviction protections have ended. And so that led to a 2%. So we're trying to reduce homelessness by 5%, but we end these programs, which we increased by 2%. So now we got 7% to do.
Sure.
That's my calculations. But how do we build a safety net? And maybe, Rick, how do you build a safety net that's not at the whims of public funding?
That's a tough question because, you know, it just depends on the amount of resources that you have available in your community. And I'm afraid that, like, smaller communities, probably like Cadillac, don't have real deep resources compared to a big metropolitan city. So I think that's a challenge. I think some smaller cities do have to rely on government, although It's not the ideal thing. We've never received government funding in any of the ministries I've been in, and that's been intentional because we didn't want to rely on it. And but with as big as a problem as homelessness is today, it's going to take the nonprofit world and, I think, government working together.
All right. If anyone is in a housing crisis or knows somebody that's in a housing crisis, there's 211. And how does that work? It's kind of a universal call for help. It's not only for home housing issues, but for any particular need.
So we do the 844 number that I gave you earlier. That is one of the resources in 211.
Okay.
So, and but there are like the renter's hotline in our area. All of those things are listed. I think landlords are listed. There's lots of different things on 211 that are listed. Medical things, community mental health.
Is that both a website as well as a telephone number?
I believe so.
Okay, I think so too. Fantastic. Well, in our last minute or two, Rick, any thoughts that you have that summarizes our last hour of conversation?
Yeah, sure. I really commend the community there, the listening audience of the area there, that, they would support New Hope Center and Shelter, because I was there probably a few months ago, and that's a neat facility. I think it's well worth the community support, and they're doing a great job there in doing something that is very needed in the community.
And Michelle, as being on the front line, providing those services every night, what thoughts do you have?
I guess ultimately, it's about the people, it's about our neighbors, it's about people that they need opportunities to be stable and move forward. So I guess that's the biggest thing, is it's just like they say, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a community and church communities to help the people that need the help, the unhoused people in our community.
And it's the most efficient method, because there's accountability and there's something special between the community and that individual, and help is on the way.
Yes.
You've been listening to a Strong Tower Radio Today program on increasing homelessness in Michigan. You've been listening to Rick Elvis. He's with CityGate Network. That's part of a nationwide of 335 organizations providing 10 million nights just last year. With people with needing housing, and Michelle Munn with the New Hope Shelter here in the Cadillac area for Wexford and Maseki County. For Strong Tower Radio, I'm Tom Majeure. God bless you, and be compassionate to others. Bye now.